He kicked an empty beer can. Maybe we'd better look in the cans instead. As though by magic, the can flew into the air, flashing in the sunlight. At the same instant, they heard the spiteful crack of a rifle. Scotty reacted instantly, and Rick was only a fraction of a second behind. They dashed across the road and dove for cover in the rocks behind the Jeep. The rifle cracked again. A slug whined into space a few feet from their noses, leaving a silvery streak of lead on a rock. The boys moved again, closer into the face of the cliff, and took shelter under a slight overhang. "Now what?" Rick asked. Scotty surveyed the situation, estimated the line of fire from the lead smear on the rock, then shook his head. "We can't get in the Jeep and make a run for it because we'd be right in line of fire. He's on top of the mesa, whoever he is. He can't reach us here, but he can reach us if we move, or if he moves." The rifle punctuated Scotty's estimate of the situation. This time, the slug slapped rock close enough to spatter sandstone chips in their faces. "We can't stay here," Scotty said grimly. "I'm going to see what I can do." "How?" Rick demanded. Scotty was busily picking up stone fragments, choosing them by weight and shape. "I can move along the face of the cliff, staying under cover. At least, I think I can. If I can reach the place where the road drops, I can get up to the top. With luck, I won't be seen. Besides, you can distract him." "How?" "I don't know. Put the Brant brain to work and figure out something." Scotty unrolled his sling, slipped the loop over his index finger, and gave Rick a tight grin. "Keep the boy busy, chum. Here I go." Scotty moved rapidly but silently across the bottom of the cliff, taking advantage of every overhanging rock. When Scotty was perhaps 10 yards away, Rick moved into action. He picked up a rock, hefted it, then threw it into a pile of cans. They scattered noisily, bringing a rifle shot in reply. Rick thought swiftly, then peeled off his shirt and wrapped it in a good-sized rock. He gauged the distance and heaved it in the direction opposite the one Scotty had taken, aiming for a niche under an overhang 6 yards away. He hoped the motion would be mistaken for one of them. Evidently, he succeeded, because a rifle slug chipped rock a foot away from the shirt as it rolled under the overhang. Raising his head cautiously, he saw rock perch precariously on the steep slopes. Evidently, it had come to rest there, where the rains had washed away much of its support. He found a rock to throw, sighted with care, and tossed it underhand. It struck directly under the balanced rock and dug away enough dirt to upset its equilibrium. The rock tumbled down, bringing a tiny landslide of other rocks and dirt with it. There was no response from the rifle this time. Rick turned to see how Scotty was doing, but his pal was out of sight, behind some boulder along the way. Now what? His bag of tricks was almost exhausted. He looked outward across the road. A few yards to the right of the campfire and cache of cans was a rock pile. It was big enough to shield him if he could make it. He took a deep breath. If he dodged and twisted fast enough, the rifleman probably couldn't hit him, and he would certainly have the man's full attention. It would give Scotty a better chance. He chose a rock, hefted it, and got up into a sprinting position. He made sure of his footing, then simultaneously tossed the rock sideways to attract the rifleman's eye and charged out of the niche. 10 feet, and he jumped sideways, took 2 forward leaps, and went sideways again. The rifle barked and dirt spurted where he had just been. But by then, Rick was in reach of the rock pile, and he went over it in a headlong dive, rolling like a tumbler as he landed. Quickly, he flattened out as close to the rocks as he could. A bullet whined off the top of the pile, and then there was silence. Rick's heart pounded, and his breath came in gasps. He had made it. But how about Scotty?